ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا نذير له ولا مثل له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وقال تعالى ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يا بني احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك وإذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, majestic in his glory, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has blessed each and every one of us with this great valuable gift of iman. Durood and salutations upon our guide and mentor, that individual who's coming in this world are the means of removing the darkness of jahiliyyah, removing the darkness of ignorance and replacing the darkness with the nur and the light of iman, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected elders and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made each and every one of us reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The kalima, my respected elders and friends, of kalima of tawheed is one. And that, as we mentioned, is la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But the people who recite the kalima, the people who recite the kalima are of two types. You get those who are the reciters of the kalima of iman, and you get those who are the reciters of the kalima of yaqeen. Kalima of iman, a person recites the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, testifies to tawheed, to the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the risalat and the finality of the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person is a mu'min, that person is in the fold of Islam, alhamdulillah, most of us, all of us. My respected brothers and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala having gifted us with this kalima of iman, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala having gifted us with this iman in our hearts, put us into this world and put us on the face of this earth, so that we can now make such a concerted effort on that kalima of iman, that kalima of iman is now transformed into the kalima of yaqeen. The kalima of yaqeen, my respected elders and friends, is that we have firm conviction that la ilaha illallah, that only and only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has the power, only and only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one and that individual who can do, who will do, and nobody can do against the will of Allah, nobody can challenge the will of Allah, nobody can do besides Allah. That conviction, that yaqeen, that belief needs to be embedded in the bottom of our hearts. My respected elders and friends, when the kalima of yaqeen, when iman will be transformed into yaqeen, when effort on iman will be made to such an extent that effort of iman becomes yaqeen, and that iman now becomes conviction in the dhat of Allah, becomes conviction in the sifat of Allah, in the being of Allah, in the qualities and the attributes of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then to come unto a'mal will also be very easy. Today the ummah, alhamdulillah, to a large extent, the ummah is on a'mal. But a very large percentage of the ummah find it difficult to do a'mal. Ulama have mentioned extensively, ulama have written also, that the reason why the ummah finds it difficult to come unto a'mal, why it is it so difficult to take that Quran, that Quran Kareem, and make tilawat of Quran 1 hour a day? Why is it so difficult to get up at the time of Fajr and come to the masjid and perform salah? Why is it so difficult on the heart to put a lock on the door of that business and come to the masjid for Zuhr salah? Why is it difficult for this ummah to fast on a weekly basis on a Monday and a Thursday where the reward is mentioned so much? My respected elders and friends, the month of Ramadan comes, we fast, we take it as a burden to fast. The reason, my respected elders and friends, is difficulty to come onto amal is owed and basically totally because of the lack of yaqeen. Why? Allah's Nabi promised one basic example. Allah's Nabi promised that ummah, I'm not talking of the fara'is of salah. I'm making reference to a hadith of Muslim Sharif in which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the performance of the 12 raka'at of sunnat mu'akkada in a day. The 5 salah that we perform, the fara'is, there is no choice. The sunnat mu'akkada that is performed either before that 5 fara'is or after. The 2 sunnat before Fajr, the 4 sunnat before Zuhr, the 2 sunnat after Zuhr, the 2 sunnat after Maghrib, the 2 sunnat after Isha. These make up 12 sunnat mu'akkada in the day. The hadith of Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that person who on a daily basis will safeguard those 12 raka'at sunnat mu'akkada, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant him a palace in Jannat. The promise of the Nabi of Allah is there. My Nabi, Allah's Nabi, never spoke a lie. But why is it so difficult for this ummah to come onto that sunnat salah? To perform the sunnat, how many times we will find? Allah forgive my respected elders and friends, it is not for me to point fingers. But wherever we go and what we see and what we observe, that's what we need to put in front of the ummah. How many times we will find on this day of Jumu'ah, on this day of Friday, the farz namaz is complete and everybody is dashing out of the masjid as if though they are doing a 100-meter dash. What happens to the sunnat mu'akkada that needs to be performed after the Jumu'ah Salah? Whereas the promises in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam regarding these aspects, my respected friends, are so great. Who wants to throw Jannat away? Who sitting here can stand up and say, I don't need that Jannat, so I won't perform my sunnat? My respected elder, we can't do that. But why are we not coming onto those sunan? It is because of the lack of yaqeen. The lack of yaqeen. The promises of Nabi alayhi salam, that Nabi alayhi salam mentioned in authentic ahadith, the ummah is lacking yaqeen in those promises. My respected elder, this aspect of yaqeen and conviction in the dhat and the sifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is such that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem mentioned numerous incidents regarding how Allah put Anbiya alayhimus salam through different trials and tribulations so that Anbiya alayhimus salatu salam could learn this yaqeen. Ayyub ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave him a very, very serious illness. Together with that, he lost everything that he had, family and belongings. Why would Allah want to test a nabi in that way? Why would Allah want to put that nabi of his who was so qareeb and so close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through such tests? And after some time, Allah gave his nabi shifa. Allah gave Ayyub ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim cure from that illness. Allah teaches Ayyub alayhi salam yaqeen. That illness came from me, and as I gave it to you, I took it away from you also. We know, my respected elders and friends, we listened about Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim. When Namrud and his allies opposed the da'wat of Tawheed from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they asked him to stop it, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was adamant in giving the da'wat of Tawheed, they threw him, they catapulted him into a fire that was burning. I wouldn't say red hot, but black hot. Why would Allah want his Nabi to be thrown into a fire? Why would Allah want his Khalil to be thrown into a fire? Allah teaches Ibrahim alayhi salam through this incident yaqeen that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed the quality of burning in fire, and it is that same Allah who wants to take that quality of burning out of fire. Allah will take that quality of burning out of fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam say, in that fire of extreme heat, I lived in that fire, and that was the best days of my life. This is yaqeen, my respected. Allah taught Anbiya alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on one occasion sitting on a conveyance. A young boy, approximately of the age of 12 or 13 years of age, the cousin of Nabi alayhi salam, Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, is sitting on the same conveyance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam refers to him, Ya Bunay, which is an affectionate terminology which Arabs use to address children. Ya Bunay, O young boy, Inni u'allimuka kalimat, I want to teach you few words. O young boy, I want to teach you few words. What are the words that Nabi alayhi salam teaches this young boy? O Abdullah bin Abbas, Ihfazillah, yahfazka. Protect the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah will protect you. Allah Nabi emphasizes, Ihfazillah, tajidhu tujahak. Protect the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and every step of your life you will find Allah with you. Every step of your life you will find Allah with you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ Abdullah, if you want to ask, ask only from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ If you want help and you need assistance and help, ask that help and assistance and aid only from Allah. وَعْلَمْ He now draws the attention of this young boy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws the attention of this young boy. وَعْلَمْ That, oh young boy, know well, أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ Allah's Nabi teaches this boy the words of yaqeen. That, oh young boy, know well that if the entire nation and the entire ummah can get together and they can plan and they can brainstorm and they can think, how are they going to cause benefit to you? Remember, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ They cannot cause an iota's amount of benefit. They cannot cause an atom's amount of benefit to you, except to the extent of which Allah had decreed in your favor. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا And on the contrary, if that ummah, every single one of them, every single living being on the face of the earth, gets together and plan and plot and conspire, how are they going to cause harm to you? لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ They cannot cause an atom's amount of harm to you. إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ Except to the extent of that which Allah has written against you. These are the words of yaqeen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches this young boy, Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that who is the doer of things? Benefit comes only from Allah. Harm comes only from Allah. It is Allah who will bring conditions, and that same Allah who will remove conditions. My respected elders and friends, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such a concerted effort, such a dedicated effort on the hearts of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, regarding this aspect of yaqeen. That, my respected brothers, we find a Sahabi is informed by the masses, by others, that go home, take care of your house. The homes around your home, in the vicinity of your neighborhood, are all on fire. It should not happen that the fire of those homes in your vicinity catch onto your house and your house also burns. That Sahabi says, impossible for my house to burn. Impossible for my house to burn. People are getting annoyed. Then what are you talking? We are eyewitnesses to the incident. The entire neighborhood is on fire. He says it is impossible to burn. When they go, really they see that his house is untouched. What does he say? My Nabi told me that leave your home, recite Ayatul Kursi on your property and your belongings. Allah will protect it. Today when I left home, I recited the Ayatul Kursi. I have firm conviction and yaqeen in the words of my Nabi. My Nabi will never lie to me. This was the level of yaqeen in Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Ghaliban, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma was on his deathbed. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma was on his deathbed, about to leave this world. And people started taunting at him that, "Oh Abdullah, what have you done? You leave behind four daughters. You leave behind you four daughters. You are leaving this world, but you left nothing of the material world for your daughters. How do you expect your daughters to live?" What does Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma say? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma says that it is impossible that my daughters will die of poverty. He's leaving this world. It is impossible. This is the level of yaqeen in the hearts of Sahaba. Impossible that my daughters will die of poverty. Why? Because my Nabi told me, I heard it from the Mubarak tongue of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that person who every night will recite Suratul Waqi'ah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will protect that person from poverty. Suratul Waqi'ah in the 27th juz after Suratul Rahman. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will protect that person of poverty. I not only instructed and taught my daughters to recite the Suratul Waqi'ah, but I taught them Suratul Waqi'ah itself, and my daughters will read the Suratul Waqi'ah every night. Inshallah, they will never die of poverty. That is yaqeen. My respected elders and friends, many a times we get people saying that, "But Mawlana, I've been reading Suratul Waqi'ah for so many years, but still I have financial difficulty." What intention are you reading the Suratul Waqi'ah? Is it read with that yaqeen and conviction that Allah, Nabi said it, Allah promised it, it will happen? Or am I reading it as a ritual because I heard one Mawlana saying it, so I need money, I need extra money, excess finance, let me read it, I will get extra money? That's not the idea, my respected elders and friends. The idea is to learn yaqeen. To learn yaqeen. My respected elders and friends, there's one incident mentioned in the books. I heard it from one prominent alim. There was a sheikh by the name, a very, very pious person, a saint of his time, Sheikh Fariduddin. On one occasion, he was on safar, he was traveling, and whatever water he had with him, that water got finished, and he didn't have any water left. And now he was parishan, he was worried that I will need water. I need water for wudu, I need water for my thirst, to drink also. And it so happened Allah tabarak wa ta'ala brought him in front of a well. When he came in front of that well, he had the water. The water was in the well, but there was no asbab. There was nothing that he could use to draw the water out of the well. So now he's in a bigger predicament. So he decided to put his shawl on the floor. He said, "Let me sit down and rest and relax and sleep here. Someone will come by, I will ask them for help. And when they will give me that help, I will get the water out." Eventually, a group of deers, you know, animal deer, the people that go hunting here in Mpumalanga, they love hunting. A group of deers came. And as those deers came to the well, the water from the well lifted. The water from those deers drank from the water. So the sheikh is looking and he says, "Very good, I will also benefit." The moment he went to the well, and as he was about to take the water subsided and went down in. And then he heard a voice from the unseen, Wali of Allah. He heard a voice from the unseen that, "Oh, you human being, those deers," in fact, he made dua. And he told Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that, "Ya Allah, have my level stooped to such a level lower than that of animals also? That you provided for those animals, but you're not providing for me?" And then he heard that voice from the unseen. Then he heard the voice from the unseen that, "Oh, human being, oh person, those animals were provided for because they had trust, tawakkul, and yaqeen in Allah. You were waiting for someone to give you the means. You were waiting for someone to give you the means. That is why you did not get the help of Allah." This was a wali of Allah. Allah wanted to teach him that lesson. My respected elders and friends, nobody can do for us. Wallahi al-azim. That is what we need to bring into our hearts. Nobody and nothing can do for us. I'm not saying that we should not work to make a living. Sit at home, sit on a couch, and Allah will provide. Allah, my yaqeen is in Allah. Allah will provide. I got yaqeen at Allah. No, we are not saying that we must do that. We need to make an effort to make a living. But take that belief from the heart that this business of mine is providing for me. My father is providing for me. My job is providing for me. That is not our belief. Our belief is that this job, this business, my parents, they are a means of provision. They are a means to provide for me. That is all just a sabab. asbab. Though that just means to provide for me. But the real provider is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I'm getting from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. My respected elders and friends, like how everything and every profession in the world needs training, needs a place where you can go and train. A person wants to become a doctor, he needs to go to medical school. A person wants to become a lawyer, he needs to go to law school. A person wants to become an engineer, he needs to go and study engineering at university. He needs to go and learn the profession. No person can just read a book. No person can just read a book and tell you, I'm a doctor. What will you say to that person? You're a fool. Will anybody go to that person for cure, for ilaj? We won't go to such a person because he doesn't have a qualification. But a person who's got a qualification, he's got a degree hanging in his wall, in his surgery, in his practice, that he's qualified. Now we will have trust in that person. We will go to that person. Why? He knows what he is doing. To learn yaqeen also, there is a field, my respected friends. To learn yaqeen also, there is a field. And that is why this ijtima that is coming up next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, no mistakes. 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th of April, inshallah, the ijtima that is coming. This ijtima is just merely an excuse to create some fikr, to create some concern in our hearts. Some concern in our hearts that how can we become a means, how can we become a means of our own hidayat and the hidayat of mankind at large. And in doing so, in that process, yaqeen will slowly, slowly be built in our hearts. My respected friends, I know I've already taken, but just very quickly, one alim was explaining that you get a person who loves his life in total sunnat. From the time he gets up in the morning till the time he goes to bed at night. From the time he recites Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur till the time he says Allahumma bi ismika amutu wa ahya. Everything he does is in total conformance and obedience to the sunnat. How is deen going to spread? How is deen going to spread? But if he takes that same sunnah that he has in his life and he takes it to the neighbor and takes it to the community and takes it to the ummah, now is deen going to spread? Very easily deen is going to spread. And this is what deen is all about. This is what Nabi alayhi salatu, ballighu anni. So beautiful choice of words. Ballighu anni walau aya. Even if you have knowledge of one thing regarding the deen, make tabligh of it. Make tabligh of it. And what is tabligh? Tabligh doesn't mean we must set people will come to us, then we will tell them about it. Tabligh is that we need to go to the masses, we need to go to the people. Remind the people what our responsibilities of the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala are. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. We should all try to avail ourselves for the ijtima, be part of the ijtima and listen to the talks and see how we can benefit from it and take benefit beyond the ijtima also, inshallah. Alladhina yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. Ulaika alladhina hadahumullah wa ulaika hum ulul albab wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.